good to see everyone out this evening. I'm making a change in what I had planned on speaking about. I had a hard time seeing and reading this morning, and I had this sermon ready and I for quite a while, and I hadn't preached it. And I want to talk about heaven this evening. And the preacher told me one time, he said, "Bruce, every so often you just need to preach on heaven." So we stay reminded of heaven. We keep that as our goal. We keep that moving us along. And like we were talking about this morning, there's all the troubles and trusting in Jesus during troubling times. Friends, we have something better waiting for us. And there are so many songs. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truth in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. God has prepared heaven for us. Heaven is one of the most beautiful words in the English language or in any language. You think about mother's got to rank up there toward the top. You think about mother and it just brings so many thoughts to our mind, so many memories. But heaven should hold that same place. Shouldn't hold the same place. It should hold a higher place in our hearts. And we just don't talk about it enough. Heaven should be on our heart. It should be on our lips. We want to go there. Other people should know we want to go there. Other people need to know that there's something better than this world waiting for us. Well, how do we know about heaven? The only way we can know about heaven is what God has revealed to us in his word. We aren't going to learn about heaven from the books of men. We aren't going to learn about heaven from Hollywood. We aren't going to learn about heaven from dreams. But that's where most of the people in the world get their concept of heaven. It's sad when someone is dying. When death comes, we announced the young man that just passed away this last week, that's 42 years old. This last week, we went to visit someone that is, we are all headed for death. And he asked me to say a prayer before I left. And it's a challenge sometimes because you can't preach a sermon in a prayer, but people think that they're saved, and we just need to not wait till somebody's dying to talk about heaven more. We need to work it into our everyday life and question them. So what do you think is going to happen when you die? Oh, you think that? Well, what do you base that on? So you don't believe what the Bible says about dying? And Satan a lot of times will use that emotion against us. You mean my daddy's not going to heaven, my mom is not going to heaven, my wife, my husband's not going to heaven? And friends, the only person that we have control over is ourselves. That's why we are going to stand before God individually and give an account for the deeds that each one of us do in this life. I'm not going to give account for Carol. She's not going to give an account for me. Each one of us. There have been many sermons preached on heaven. Many gravestones have the inscription on heaven. Many books written and printed about heaven. Yet a lot of that is not based on the Bible. And that, again, is why it should be on the lips of all of God's people. And when we sing these songs, it should just lift our hearts up. We think of all the trouble in this world, and then we sing about heaven. We sing about heaven, and we forget about all that's going on. And it should bring joy to our soul. And if it doesn't bring joy to our soul, we got to take a look and see if we are so caught up in this world that we are not able to be touched. There's something better that's waiting for us. Something more than what this life has to offer. But so many people get caught up in this life. There's an eternal life where God is and where Jesus is, who came to this earth to die for us. So let's think about this wonderful place. One of the places we have to look at is John 14, and it teaches us that heaven is a real place. Heaven is just as real as New Lebanon. It's not somewhere far, far away, some other galaxy. Heaven is a real place. The Bible talks about it being up. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. It's somewhere beyond the farthest star. There's a beautiful place called heaven. John 14, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Again, we see how much Jesus loved his disciples. And we should take comfort in that. When you read in John 14 about this, "Let not your heart be troubled," you go back to John 11:33, and Jesus was troubled. John 11:38, Jesus was troubled. John 12:27, Jesus was troubled. John 13:21, Jesus was troubled. And he takes focus off of himself and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Just before he's ready to go to his death, he tells his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24:7, speaking of the return of Jesus back to heaven after his resurrection, the words, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Heaven is getting ready for Christ. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift him up, everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. Jesus left heaven. He came to earth. And myself, I wonder what all the angels were thinking and wondering, since they didn't know God's plan and it hadn't been carried out completely. And even when Jesus was on the earth and at the transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah were there, and they were talking about the death and resurrection of Christ, according to Luke, they didn't understand what was going on. And heaven was waiting for Christ to go back to heaven after he rose from the dead. And because of that, we have the hope and the assurance that when we die, there's going to be a resurrection. And when he comes back, if we are faithful to him, we can go to heaven with him. So the gates of heaven were opened wide for the return of Jesus. So heaven is a place. It's a perfect place. What we build here is not perfect. We might think we've done a pretty good job. We build something and then we see some mistakes we made. "I wish I had made this change or made that." You remodel a house. "I wish I had put this here and instead of that there." There's no mistakes in heaven. You see cities that were built here and then they fall into despair, into ruin. It's not going to be that way in heaven. It's a real place. Notice there's going to be real people there. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" heaven is not some imaginary place, some place we don't know where it is with made up people. It's going to be real people. And Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but for all those who love his appearing. So people are going to be in heaven. There's Old Testament characters, the New Testament apostles. We'll be able to talk to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And have you ever thought about what you're going to say to God? You know, that's a scary thought, just thinking about when Christ comes back and there's a judgment and the books are open and everything that we have done in this life is going to be revealed. And if we can get words out of our mouth, we should fall down and say, have mercy on me, God. But what are we going to talk to God about? Would it be a long conversation or a short conversation? Part of that is going to depend on how we are talking with him now. Do we have a conversation with God while we're here? Do we talk to him in prayer? In the morning, at noon, at night, all day long? Again, he's our Father. He's going to desire to talk to us. He wants to know what's on our hearts. Heaven has real people, and it's a place of happiness. There's not going to be any gloominess. No one will get the blues. There's not going to be any hatred, any jealousy, malice to fill the hearts. There's not going to be any boredom. Every hour, there aren't hours, but to put it in our language, every hour is going to be filled with joy and happiness. Why would we not plan to go there? Why would we live a life that we know is going to cause us to miss heaven? In this world, we are filled with tears, with heartaches, with sorrows, affliction. You get bad news, you get more bad news. People die. But it's not going to be that way in heaven. It's going to be one eternal day of rejoicing and happiness. Do you remember the happiest time in your life? You think about that time and you multiply it times infinity. And that's what heaven is going to be like. That's a picture of heaven. In heaven, God's going to provide fellowship and love. We'll have his sunshine of love. The song that we sing, there is sunshine in my soul. And again, I've mentioned this over and over. That was sung at my dad's funeral. And it has a special meaning to me because of that. But it's a beautiful song. But people think, well, why are you... You sing that at a funeral, and people think, well, why are you happy? Well, there's sunshine in my soul because there is a hereafter. And if we live according to God's word, we are going to enjoy the sunshine of God. That's heaven. It's a place of beauty, grandeur, glory. And God shows us just a glimpse of that here on this earth. The sunshine that we see here. You look out, we marvel at a sunrise. You go get somebody, come, Carol, come, come. She'll say, come look at this, come look at this. It's usually the sunsets with her. Come look at this. It's so beautiful. And that's just a glimpse of what God has waiting for us. You see the change of seasons, the flowers that bloom, the nature. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. This is just a glimpse of what heaven is going to look out. We see the sky. The azure blue, we see the stars at night, they twinkle. There's the sun, the moon that we see. We see the beauty of God. And God loves beauty. Imagine what heaven is going to be like in view of this universe, in which we live for just a short time. And this beauty All of this beauty that we see here is going to be burned up, but it's just a glimpse of what's in heaven. And you think about some of the most beautiful places you've ever seen, and then you think about heaven, and if we aren't in heaven, what's the alternative? It's going to be hell. And what's the scene going to be in hell? It's darkness. There's nothing to see. It's outer darkness, because we are as far away from God as possible. Outer darkness. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven. That's a military term. Our inheritance is guarded. It's being protected. And everything that we know, everything that we touch here, it dies, it decays, it fades with time, but not in heaven. And when we've been there 10 trillion times 10 trillion years, it's just as lovely as the day when we began. You know, people talk about God's coming back any day now. I think people probably have always thought that whatever the time was, that they were the center of the universe. There can't be anything greater than us after we go. Man has probably always thought that. There's no telling how many years God is going to allow this earth to stand. It could be gone tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years, 10,000 years. It could stand here 100,000 years. Because we know that there's going to be an innumerable host. And when we talk about the broad way and the few way, that it's a comparison between those that are following God and those that aren't. But heaven is going to have an innumerable host. And then people will say, you people from the Church of Christ, you think you're the only ones that are going to heaven. I don't think that. I don't think that at all. You think of all the patriarchs that lived under the Old Testament, and they were faithful. That blood from the cross flowed back. They're going to be in heaven. All the Jews that were faithful and followed the law in the Old Testament. The blood at the cross flows back. All of those Jews are going to be there. You think about all the babies in the Old Testament that were sacrificed to idols. You think about all the babies that are aborted today. The number's got to be staggering. Millions and millions. They are safe. They have no sin. Their souls are going to be in heaven. Heaven is going to be a place, again, people get their ideas from watching some TV show or some movie or reading some book instead of reading what's in the Bible. It's going to be a place of reunion. We're going to know one another in heaven. I don't know how that's going to work or what will look like, because we will not have a fleshly body. But one of these days, when time is no more and Christ comes back, we're going to be able to be associated with throughout eternity. There's our loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, our fathers, mothers, there's our grandparents, our friends, our brethren in Christ. And we will dwell with forever and ever. And again, back just to touch on the point of family, we would like everybody to be there, but we know that's not going to be the reality. I'm the only one I have control over in my family. But then, on the other hand, I look at my church family that I have over the years. I've had fathers in the church that were just as much a father to me as my physical father. I've had mothers that were mothers to me just as much as my physical mother. And we're going to be reunited. And what a grand reunion it's going to be. One day we're going to be together, never to say goodbye. You go and you visit relatives, especially ones that are getting aged, and you just hate to say goodbye. You think this might be the last time I see this person. When we get to heaven, we aren't going to say goodbye. In Genesis 25:8, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And in 2 Samuel 12:23, and now he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. He cannot be brought back to me, but I can go to him. So there's this hope as a child of God that we are going to be reunited. Reunited with our family. And friends, if our fleshy relatives do not make it to heaven, we're not going to sorrow or pain over them not making it. Because there is no sorrow or pain in heaven. And I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe just being in the presence of God, we are not going to remember anything of a painful nature here. But again, some people will lose their soul because somebody said that this relative isn't going to make it. And that's what Satan wants. Heaven is also going to be a place of service. We aren't just going to be sitting around like a lot of people think, or, yeah, Uncle Joe, he's up there, he's fishing, he's playing golf, he likes to golf, and he's probably up there hunting and doing this and that. You can't read about that in the Bible. Revelation 7:15, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. That's why God created us, was to give him glory and honor and worship him. And again, what we're doing here is just preparing us for when we can do that for time without end, worshiping God forever, singing praises. Again, that's why in Psalm 5 this morning, David was talking about worshiping God with praises, with prayers and songs. Philippians 1:23, Paul said, I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You know, I like this life, but Paul said that the one to come is better than this. And this life in heaven is provided for by Jesus Christ, and it's yours and mine. And when it's provided for by Christ, he is the only way. We have to look at his words to see what we can do to have it. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're just foreigners, strangers passing through here. And Peter says, Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're just passing through. We don't want to get too entangled in this world. We don't want to take our tent peg and drive it too deep into the ground, because we're going to pull it up one day and we're going to go home. And we've got to keep that perspective. We're foreigners to this land. And that being the case, we should not get tied down. Some are not going to get to heaven because they have gotten too tied down to this world. We've got to abstain from fleshly lust. Don't become engrossed, engulfed in the cares of life that we lose heaven. That doesn't mean that we can't have any fun. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy life. But we've got to have our priorities. And God must come first. This life is only temporary. We're passing through. And one time, we're going to pass through and we're never going to come back here again. So Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. And in another text, Matthew 6:19, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And again, as we mentioned this morning on laying up treasures, we want to do that in heaven, just as we would do that on earth. We have to make contributions. We want to build treasure here on this earth. We make contributions. We want treasures in heaven. We have to make contributions, our time, our energy, our money. And how often do we do that? We do that regularly, over and over and over and over. You want to amass a large amount of money here, you contribute regularly, over and over and over, and you're going to have that treasure. Why do people think that they can go to heaven without contributing any time, energy, or money? And why do they think if they go once or twice a year or once a week, that's going to be enough? They aren't laying up treasure. They're laying up treasure where their heart is here. What bearing does that have on going to heaven? Jesus said, heaven is where our treasure is as a Christian. And that's where our treasure is, and that's where our heart needs to be. So when you think about what do you treasure the most, we could rattle off a long list of things, and are we going to have heaven on that list? And friends, if we want to go there, we better have it on the list, and it better be the top of the list. Colossians 3, since we've been raised with Jesus Christ, set your affections on things, not on things of this world, but in other words, set your affections on things that are above. So we shouldn't get so obsessed with things of this world that our minds only focus on this life. We've got to spend time. We have to have jobs. We have to provide for ourselves. We understand that. But the main thing that we need to focus on is our true treasure. Because again, we could lose all of this. Our life in this country could change in a matter of seconds, in a matter of minutes. We could lose what we have. And then when we die, what are we going to have? Is it those treasures here on this earth? Or do we have that treasure waiting for us in heaven? Consider Joshua and Caleb. They looked to the land of Canaan, not back to Egypt. Of all the Israelites that came out, 640,000 or whatever from Egypt of men of the age to go to war, so like over a million and a half people came out of Egypt, and how many from that group went into the land of Canaan? Two. Why did Joshua and Caleb go in? They were looking forward. Where were the others looking? They were looking back. We've got to move forward. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. And that's why, as a Christian, none of us should fear if someone puts us to death. None of us should fear losing our life if we are a faithful Christian. Because death is that transportation that takes us into the next world, that better world. So how does heaven affect our lives? It gives us meaning and purpose and joy and carries us through the bumps in this life. It gives us something to stand on. There's something to look forward to. And that's in the hearts of God's people. life everlasting. You know, Carol and I were talking, we got together with family, and it's amazing how our family's getting older. But we are too. And, you know, our family get-togethers are smaller and smaller because more and more have died. But as a Christian, we can have life everlasting. So it brings up the question, how do I get there? Well, we have a roadmap, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. No sin can enter in there. It's a place of perfection. Those who work the works of flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. You look at that list of sins in Galatians 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We know if we live that way, we are not going to get there. So we have to be forgiven. And God makes that possible for everybody to be forgiven. The only way that we can know about heaven is what God has revealed to us in His holy word. And the only way we can know who will go to heaven is by reading what God has revealed to us in His holy book. And we just don't read about everybody going to heaven. We read that Christ is coming back for His wife, His church, the church of Christ. Ephesians 5, Matthew 16. He will not be coming back for other men's wives, for denominations. Are you ready for His return? Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We've got to be born of water and the Spirit. So how do we get in the church? By being baptized into it. Which church? Jesus said, I will build my church. My church. My church is His bride. His bride is the one that He's going to deliver up to heaven. How do we know which one His church is? It's the one that came with power. And when the power came, the Holy Spirit came. And that happened on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, where it was prophesied that this kingdom would come and would be built. So if someone is in a church that started after the day of Pentecost, someone is in a church that started in a place other than Jerusalem, they are not in the Lord's church. And we may love them and care about them very much, but Jesus, God said, they cannot enter into heaven. Jesus talked about the straight gate and the narrow way and the broad way, and many are going to be headed for destruction. Many people think that when someone dies in their heaven already. Again, the Bible teaches about Hades, this place of paradise and this place of torment. And when you go and you look at the judgment scenes, as we looked at in Luke and Matthew, both talk about this universal judgment, when all nations of all generations are going to be there. The people from Nineveh are going to rise up and speak against this generation. The queen from the south is going to rise up and speak against this generation. Everybody is waiting in Hades, the place of the dead, until Christ returns for the judgment. So think about this. Everybody wants to go to heaven. So you don't want to go to His house on earth, but you want to live in His mansion in heaven. How is that going to work? Don't have time to make it to services. Don't have time to spend with God's family. But they want to go to heaven. As a Christian, if we are faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, if we persevere and continue, if we will give diligence to make our calling and election sure, we shall never fall, but there will be an abundant entrance into that eternal kingdom. And somebody will say, that sure is a lot of ifs. Those ifs are nothing compared to what is waiting for us when we do that. That's what God promises, friend. Are you ready to go? Have you prepared to go? Are you ready to give your life to Jesus? Friend, we cannot afford to be lost. The door is open. Jesus is inviting you to come. Come today. Come to the blood of Christ. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.